You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm here with Jeffrey Flanagan. We're just outside the visitor's dugout at Progressive Field, where the Royals and Indians are playing a three-game set this week. Won't see Johnny Cueto in this series, but we'll be seeing him Friday, it sounds like. And, boy, first of all, if you just think in the grand context of the Kansas City Royals making a major deadline acquisition of this magnitude, you know, selling major farm system pieces, just something you didn't see in those 29 years between playoff appearances. It's great to see it now.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty exciting. It tells you a couple things about how dedicated that David Glass and Dayton Moore are to getting back to the World Series and trying to win it. And also tells you what faith they have in their scouting department that they'll reload the draft and keep being able to acquire pieces because they have depth in the farm system. They gave away three pretty good prospects, but as Dayton always says, I mean, if you're worried about who you're going to give up, you're never going to get a deal done. So they're at the stage now where they've got enough depth in the farm system, they can afford to make these moves. It's pretty exciting, and it's probably going to be a two-month rental, but it really, I think, gives them the edge in the AL right now.
Cueto, of course, you know, he's an elite arm. We know this. The one concern I have is, you know, well, he doesn't have the postseason pedigree of some people that you might like to see, but and then, of course, the injury situation. You know, he's had a couple starts pushed back this year, but he really, I think he showed a lot of people with that last start in Colorado, especially under the circumstances of first being informed he's traded
right
before he even goes out on the mound, and then he delivers such a quality outing on top of that. So that seemed to alleviate some concerns there. Obviously, the Royals were pushing for him even before that trade, but I think industry-wide, you know, that made people feel a lot better about what the Royals are getting.
Yeah, and the Royals actually, several people told me earlier in the week, too, that they were at complete faith that he was healthy, that he was going to be fine, he could take the ball every fifth day. And, I mean, there's an excited group of guys in the clubhouse right now to get him. He'll show up tomorrow. And they're also excited that what he can do, maybe do at Kauffman Stadium, which is, as you know, a lot bigger ballpark. Right. He's kind of a fly ball guy. Amazingly, he's kept his ERA this low, you know, pitching in a bandbox like Cincinnati. Yeah. Now he's going to be pitching in front of maybe the best defense in baseball and a big ballpark, not just now, but in the playoffs, too. So that's another reason why they're pretty excited. You know, a guy with that low of an ERA, now you put him in front of that defense in that ballpark. It's going to be pretty formidable for opponents. As Ned said, it's a bad day for opponents yesterday because Ventura pitched well, and they got Cueto. So.
Oh, you think? And Cueto's reunited with his old buddy Edinson Volquez.
Yep.
And you think now about this trio with Ventura, the way he pitched on Sunday, and Volquez and Cueto, the Dominican threesome there.
Yeah.
Little guys from the Dominican who can do a lot of damage for this club. But how big was that to see Ventura? He had a weird week, obviously. He's sent down to AAA, and Vargas gets hurt, so he busts the Yui and comes back. And was just dominant and out-pitched Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, it was the kind of the Ventura that we saw last year, a guy that's not afraid to pitch to contact. And he had no walks, gave up six hits, no balls really particularly smashed, but just, you know, had faith in his breaking stuff, faith in his fastball, made the Astros put the ball in play, used his defense, and gave him seven strong innings. And well, really, were sweltering conditions there. It was 110 heat index, and he made it through seven. It's exactly what Ned and his staff wanted from him, and maybe he's turned a corner now. And if he has, this staff gets pretty formidable, like I mentioned, because we haven't talked about Danny Duffy, but he has been lights out since he's been back from the DL. He had another outstanding outing over the weekend. So the rotation, which has been really kind of shaky all year, is starting to round into shape, and just in time.
What's the fallout from Cueto coming aboard? Obviously, a move has to be made to make room for him.
And it's either going to be Chris Young or Jeremy Guthrie, and you gun to my head, you know, Chris Young has experience in the bullpen, Jeremy doesn't. So, you know, well, of course, Chris Young's going to pitch tomorrow night. Now, if he goes out and throws seven shutout innings and gives up one hit, what do you do then? But it's a good decision to have. Someone will have to come off the 25-man, too, and that's not going to be easy, but there's no one with options who can go out, so it's probably, you know, you might lean toward a Joe Blanton like that. So, but who knows what will happen then. And we don't Ned won't have to make that rotation decision until next week. So he's going to sit back like they always do and let the situation work itself out, you know. And well, so he's not going to make that decision today or tomorrow or the next day. It'll be next week.
You know, and every manager says that, and then it always happens. And
it
and
is
not,
amazing.
And not to make light of the Jason Vargas situation, but just before that, they were saying things work themselves out, and then he pulls up lame with the elbow. It's crazy how this game sometimes does resolve itself that way. And ultimately, you want to be in a position where you have the hard decisions, really.
Yeah, and you want to have the depth to be able to cover that stuff, and they do. And they still have Chris Bedlin, too, if they ever would need that. So they've really got seven starters and in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I talked to Lorenzo Cain just about the Cueto trade a little bit. He said, what is the mood, the emotion, I guess, when a team makes a splash like that? And for him, he's like, you know, we were pretty confident before we got him. So it's kind of like icing on the cake for their perspective. Sometimes a team needs that external boost and okay, now we're really in this. But obviously the way their year has gone, they've been feeling pretty good about themselves all year.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I didn't think, when we talked last week, they really needed to make a deal. Dayton even said it's not a must that we do. They're 21 games over 500. They're 7.5 games in the lead. They've got a pretty solid group. There aren't any holes on this team. They've covered for the loss of Alex Gordon. They've covered for the loss of Jason Vargas. I think what this just does is icing on the cake, but it's also, if I'm an opponent now trying to face the Royals, I'm going, whoa, where are the holes in the rotation now? Just because you move a number one guy in there, and Ventura was trying to be a number one guy, and Danny Duffy is starting to act like a number one guy. So, and actually, to be honest, Eddie Volquez has been the number one guy this year. He's taken over for Shields, and he's been better than James Shields. So, you know, that's a pretty decent rotation we're looking at.
What do you think is clicked for Duffy here in the second half? What do you think has clicked for Duffy here in the second half?
I think just being healthy. You know, he had that biceps tendonitis, and I think it was bugging him. And he's come back, and he's changed his rotation. I mean, his delivery a little bit, where he's coming up a little bit more over the top. When he's missing north and south, more so than east and west. And he just feels more comfortable with that motion. And of course, as you know, the game's a lot of confidence building, and he's gotten five straight really good starts. And he's feeling, this is how he pitched last year. This is who he was. And we're seeing it again this year. And the Royals are going to hope you can see it through October.
Royals obviously in a very good spot in the Central Division now, the way that's shaken. The Twins have not played particularly well in the second half. We know about the Tigers situation. They might even turn out to be sellers before this deadline. And the Indians and White Sox certainly have not asserted themselves the way a lot of people expected. So you look at it and you don't, you know, count your eggs before their hats, that kind of thing. But certainly they're in a good position where they could be, you know, kind of setting themselves up for October as we get late in the year. There could still be moves made with an eye on how it impacts this club in October, maybe not even necessarily in the division race. And by that, I mean they could still support this lineup a little more. I know there's talk about various, I mean, Ben Zobrist would help any contender. It would certainly help this one. Martin Prado is another versatile guy who you could play at various spots. What are your thoughts here with the deadline still a few days away, and it's obviously a fluid situation, but do you think they might have another move in there?
I think they might. I mean, they've been in love, like all teams have been, with Ben Zobrist for a long time, and he fits the bill, but what they want him to do would be a super utility guy who could give guys rest all around the infield, maybe in the outfield too, and I don't think they're done. I mean, I don't think that Dayton really wants to just crush his farm system, so he's going to be a little bit careful about that. But look, that would be another huge addition, and you've got 4 days for that to happen. I think what Dayton also wants to do is get the, you mentioned the Central Division, he wants to get a big enough lead where they can start resting some guys. So
right.
Guys like Sal Perez, if they got a 10-game lead with 2 weeks left, he could start playing every other day. They can just get really rested for the playoffs, which they were not last year.
Right.
Miraculously, they got all the way to Game 7, but it took its toll because Sal Perez was really not hitting very well in the postseason. He was just tired. Eskie got tired. I mean, they all got tired, but if they get a big enough lead, and if they get a guy like Zobrist, and they keep winning and run away with the division, it really sets them up for October.
Were you surprised that Brandon Finnegan was? I mean, obviously he had to be involved in this deal to get it done, but for them to move him, obviously a guy who is a big chip for them. Were you surprised they did go that route?
Yeah, I think that was the hardest decision to make in that trade. The other guys, John Lamb and Cody Reed. You know, John Lamb had Tommy John surgery 4 years ago, and it just started to come back and pitch well again. The long road back for him, and Cody Reed's a young guy, just a second round pick a couple years ago. But Finnegan, you know, a big part of what they did last year, a big part in September, and it pitched pretty well in the playoffs too. You know, they still had visions of him being a starter down the road, but you know, you got to give up somebody to get something, and he was the guy that the Reds wanted. And I know that was a hard decision for Dayton and staff, but and to get a guy like Cueto, sometimes you got to do that. And another thing they like to say, and all GMs say too, hey, they haven't abolished the draft. There'll be another one next year, and they can keep, you know, stockpiling the farm system with more drafts. So that's their feeling. They can live without Brandon Finnegan. They didn't feel they could live without Johnny Cueto right now.
All right, well, they got their man, and really set off a lot of alarms here at the trade deadline. Nice to see the Royals proactive, not just content with their central lead, but really wanting to go out there and get that fourth win in the World Series this year. So I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.